This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll hear about a one-on-one coaching and mentoring program to prepare high school kids for college and beyond. Starting us off today, green roofs, also known as eco roofs or nature roofs, have become increasingly more popular as people and organizations realize their benefits. Dr. Ishi Buffum, Assistant Professor of Biological Sciences at the University of Cincinnati, and UC doctoral student Mark Mitchell have conducted extensive research on nutrient cycling in green roof systems, and they join us to discuss their work, which was just included in the book Green Roof Ecosystems. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ishi and Mark, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Ishi, define this for us. What exactly is a green roof?
Sure. It's a fairly simple definition. Basically, it's just any time you have vegetation over structure. So, for instance, we don't think of this sometimes, but Washington Park in Cincinnati, for instance, is technically a green roof because there's a parking garage underneath. And so would be one of our colleagues has a little green roof on the top of his doghouse, you know, so it's only a couple square meters. But depending on the type of roof, it could actually be a garden where you're growing something pretty substantial and you have thick soil, or it could be something very thin that's basically built made to build and leave.
Well, Mark, how are green roofs constructed?
Well, you have the roof, of course. Then you have a roof membrane to protect the building below, and then a layer of insulation, typically a drainage layer, to get the water off because you don't want water sitting on the roof and building up. And then, of course, you have your engineered soil. So it's a heat-expanded slate, shale, clay material. So it's you actually take this mineral material, you bake it, that expands it to make it lightweight and porous. And then, of course, you add your plants on top of that.
I've heard one of the benefits is these can actually make a roof last longer. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're protecting the roof membrane from UV light and also freezing and thawing cycles. So that's very important. You know, they typically say green roofs are going to last about twice as long as your typical traditional roof.
Mark, Ishi, where did the green roof movement originate? How did this whole idea come about?
Well, green roofs, excuse me, in some form or other have been around for thousands of years, certainly. But the modern green roof movement started mainly in Germany, actually, and in a very purposeful way in cities to basically add vegetation to cities which were barely built up and didn't have much vegetation in them. And it's a way to reduce the amount of stormwater that's running off when it rains and also to insulate buildings and reduce what's called the urban heat island effect, where cities tend to get hotter. Anytime you have plants evaporating water, capturing water, that helps with some of these environmental issues. And so they've been very purposeful in promoting green roofs. And so it's a lot more advanced in Europe, particularly Germany, also a lot in Scandinavia. But now in the U.S., it's really starting to take off in more recent years.
How well is it catching on in the United States?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have exact numbers in terms of sort of the number of buildings per city. I know we have many dozens here in Cincinnati. There are some cities that are promoting it more actively. Washington, D.C., New York City, Toronto in North America. And they have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of buildings with green roofs. It's still a fairly small percentage of the city area, roof area, less than 1% typically. A city of Stuttgart in Germany has 20% of the flat roofs are actually green roofs. So if you see the city from above, it's really striking. It looks like a Photoshop image or something. There's so much green on the roofs. And we could certainly get there in the coming years, but there'd be a long way to go.
Now, what are all the advantages, Mark, of a green roof?
Well, the beauty of green roofs is the combined benefits. So you could put a tank on your roof or underground to keep water on site, right? Because that's one of the things we want to do is keep water on site and prevent it from going into the sewer system, especially in old cities like Cincinnati.
We have a combined system, right?
You also could add a layer of insulation to your building to keep it cooler in the summer and warmer in the winter. But green roofs provide both those benefits. So they are holding water on site, they're insulating your building, and actually evaporatively cooling your building. So if you think of sweat, right, water takes heat energy from your body and moves it in atmosphere and cools you down. Well, plants actually do the same thing, right? They have water evaporating from their leaves. that's actually transferring heat energy from the building into the atmosphere. So actually passively cooling the building. So green roofs provide both these benefits as well as habitat, right? So you have habitat for birds, bees, a lot of pollinating insects rely on green roofs. So they're sort of islands of biodiversity. So a huge number of benefits. And the important thing is that they're combined, right? So you're getting a lot of bang for your buck.
Like Ishii was saying, there's an aesthetic benefit too, because when you look at some of these European cities that have a large percentage of green roofs, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it truly is. And, you know, even beyond just thinking the aesthetics in a more abstract way, there's a public health benefit whenever you have something like that, an improved aesthetic or improved greenery in your environment. There's studies showing when you have hospitals, for instance, where the patients have a view of a forest or some greenery outside as opposed to just another concrete wall, they actually have shorter hospital stay times and, you know, related to their being able to sort of recharge more quickly and recover more quickly. And so that's a lot harder to quantify, but that's certainly one of the expected benefits of green roofs.
Do we know if green roofs have any impact on greenhouse gases?
Oh, it's interesting that you ask that, because we actually have an ongoing study, but the results or the outcome is not clear yet. It doesn't look like from our study that there's a dramatic effect one way or another. They have the effect of sequestering some carbon from the atmosphere, so that would be reducing CO2 in the atmosphere. Anytime you have growing plants and forming soil over time, you're going to basically be taking carbon out of the atmosphere. But that is a very small number relative to something like a growing forest where you have big trees forming over time, and that's a lot more biomass forming. So green roofs, on balance, it looks like they don't have a major impact probably on greenhouse gas exchange. But some of the most interesting things we've been looking at are, for instance, methane and nitrous oxide are the other two other important greenhouse gases. And some of the roofs that we've seen actually reduce methane in the atmosphere, as most plants would, just by basically it sticks to the plant. And then they also have the effect sometimes of emitting some nitrous oxides if there's a lot of nitrogen in the roof.
And just a note real fast about CO2. So they don't directly sequester a lot of carbon dioxide in the plant material, like Ishii said, compared to a forest ecosystem. But there's indirect benefits there. So in the summer, like I mentioned, they're cooling the building down. So you don't have to turn up your air conditioner as high.
That's a good
point. So therefore, you're burning less fossil fuels and therefore preventing a lot of these greenhouse gases from entering the atmosphere to begin with.
Yep. Do we know how much of an impact these have on reducing the need for cooling and heating?
We're not directly studying that. But like I said, they certainly do provide a huge benefit. And the one thing I haven't mentioned is urban heat island effect. You may not have heard of it, but the idea is that in the summer, cities, dense urban areas are typically, a few degrees warmer than surrounding areas at night. And so the issue is all this concrete is holding heat energy during the day, and then when it cools down, it's releasing it into that environment, that urban environment. And therefore, people have to turn up the air conditioners, and you have to you burn more fossil fuels. So green roofs help to alleviate this urban heat island effect.
I can say, although we're not directly studying the effect on sort of air conditioning costs and that side of things, we do have temperature probes on especially this one roof that we study at the Civic Garden Center here in Cincinnati, where we have a temperature measured on a shingled roof and then right next to it on our green roof. And, it's substantially different. I mean, especially in the middle of a hot, sunny summer day, the green roof holds a temperature like you might see, on the ground, in the grass or something. It might be a little bit hot on a summer day and maybe slightly hotter than the air. But the other side on a shingle roof can get, it can be up 120, 130 degrees more. It gets really, really hot above a roof like that that's radiating that heat back out. And so there's a huge difference. I mean, we see, I don't know what the average value is, but certainly 20, 30 degree Fahrenheit difference between sides of the roofs.
And Ishii, you were saying that you haven't seen much impact on greenhouse gases, but is that because there just aren't that many green roofs in the country yet?
Well, the point I wanted to make there is that in terms of the direct impact of that ecosystem, sort of the chemistry, the biogeochemistry, it's called, of that ecosystem, where it's using certain elements, it's giving off carbon dioxide, it's taking up carbon dioxide. That effect is not huge relative to some other types of vegetation, like wetlands, for instance, or forests, just because green roofs tend to be slow growing ecosystems and they tend to be fairly dry. Because they drain out, you don't want the plants sitting with their roots in soil and potentially rotting. And so they work a little differently than other ecosystems. So their direct impact on greenhouse gas exchange, it's definitely something, but and it would be more important as we get more green roofs, but it's not a huge factor relative to some other types of ecosystems. On the other hand, what Mark said about the cooling and the heating, the reducing of energy costs, because of their other benefits, that is important. And that will be a bigger,
yes.
Yeah, it is. And that will be a bigger and bigger effect the more green roofs we have, for sure. And that's a positive effect.
So, Mark, how is Cincinnati doing when it comes to developing green roofs?
Oh, I'd say they're doing pretty well. Seems like new green roofs are popping up pretty much, you know, every year. So I'd say they're doing pretty well. They also have a low interest loan program specific to green roofs. And they're one of the only cities in the U.S. that has a program like that. So they're actually trying to promote installation of green roofs to primarily hold stormwater runoff.
Is it expensive to put a green roof in? I mean, have you ever done a study of the costs? And
we did a study that was basically looking at the long-term costs and benefits of putting in a green roof versus a more traditional roof. And it is more expensive. The initial outlay of building the roof typically here now is about twice what it would be for a typical roof for, let's say, you know, an industrial building. Over time, the benefits pay off. And so if you have a relatively longer time horizon, like a few decades, you'll make that money back essentially by saving energy costs. And so on, but part of the costs that you're saving are more public benefits. And so this is where policy makes a big difference. If, for instance, we get a rebate or there's an incentive for a green roof or another type of green infrastructure, which is reducing stormwater runoff, because ultimately that should save the city money, because we're actually reducing the burden on the city infrastructure to treat water, and or we're reducing combined sewer overflows and sewage going into the streams. That's worth something, but it's right now that the policy system to actually refund or, you know, incentivize that is relatively young. And so I would say, if assuming those benefits are paid for, it's clear that a green roof will be monetarily worth it, as well as, you know, just personally getting those benefits.
Yeah, and the interesting example I always think of is the Ford plant in Dearborn, Michigan, the Rouge plant, where they have that huge green roof that they put in. I think the cost was $18 million to put that in, which I'm sure was a lot more than a standard roof would have cost them. But I think they saved like over $50 million, because there's certain maintenance things they don't have to put on the site now because they have this green roof. And I guess that's one of the big advantages that green roofs have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and just to give listeners the idea for the scope of that project, that plant that Mark was mentioning is over 10 acres in size. I mean, we're talking a huge green roof.
Yeah, I think it's like 435,000 square feet total.
It's
amazing. If you ever get a chance to see it, you should.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing to study. We will continue our conversation about green roofs. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Dr. Ishi Buffum, Assistant Professor of Biological Sciences at the University of Cincinnati, and UC doctoral student Mark Mitchell join me this afternoon as we talk about green roofs. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ishi, what are some of the, you've mentioned some green roofs. Washington Park's actually a green roof. That's something I never knew before. What are some of the other green roofs that we have in the Cincinnati area?
Excuse me. Well, we have quite a few interesting ones. So there's a couple. The ones I'm most familiar with are those that we're actually doing research with, or we have, you know, partners that we work with. There's a couple at the zoo, actually, the Giraffe House. And the Primate House both have green roofs on them. We have several on UC campus, and including the nursing building, Proctor Hall, and the DAP building, thanks to our colleague Jenny Russell over there, who's been instrumental in getting that installed. We have Mercy West Hospital, which has a really nice new green roof. What are a couple others, Mark?
Well, we also have the across the river, Sanitation District 1, Northern Kentucky. Right. That's one of the roofs that we're studying.
It's one of the oldest in the area,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's about 12 years old now, so it's actually way ahead of its time. And then also Turkey Foot Middle School, which is a really neat place if you've never seen it. Also in Northern Kentucky, they have solar panels on the building, a green roof, and they're doing lots of amazing things there.
Clark Montessori School, that reminds me as well. So we have done some study over there. They have two green roofs. I think it's really interesting to see the educational institutions implementing these and being leaders in this area, and a large part because they make such interesting teaching tools, I think, to have a green roof. It's an isolated ecosystem that you can look at and study, and that's really apparent to people, to the students there. It's a good learning tool.
Mark, we were talking about constructing a green roof earlier, and I think somebody called and pointed out that there's a need of a certain type of structural engineering to do this. You just can't put a green roof on your house. There's a lot of extra that goes into that to support the extra weight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know the requirements specifically, but yeah, the issue is you're adding material on top of a roof, so the building has to be able to support that material, including when it's wet or when it has snow on top of that material. The nice thing is that, you know, it seems like every year we go to these research conferences and we see these new materials that are coming out, and it seems like they're lighter and lighter every year. So the technology is improving, and the weight restrictions are also improving.
One thing I want to mention, if anybody is interested in seeing a green roof or several green roofs locally, actually probably the best place, or one of anyway, is the Civic Garden Center over on Reading Road. And that's where we've done a lot of our research. They have four different types of green roofs that are sort of demonstration roofs that you can go and see. They have a beautiful arboretum there as well. And they've been great partners in our research. And so that's extremely accessible, nice way to just see what they're really like. You know, a lot of different examples of types of roofs.
Ishii, with the climate we have in Cincinnati, really hot in the summer and then really cold in the winter, what kind of plants do best in this environment we have in Cincinnati for green roofs?
It depends a lot on the type of green roof, because you can build the roofs up to the point where they're a little more insulated by thicker soil, for instance. And so then you can get more of the like larger plants, bushes, and things like that. For most of the green roofs that we're talking about that are relatively shallow soil-like substrate, and you want to just more or less build it, set it and leave it kind of, it's supposed to be minimal maintenance, they have to be very hardy plants, like succulent plants that can withstand drying out, you know, long periods of drought. Usually mixtures of sedum, the sedum species of plants, and many different types. Most of those originate from the Mediterranean area, but they do pretty well in drying out basically in the summer, and they can withstand these extreme conditions. But interestingly, like the Sanitation District 1 roof, that has a lot of grasses on it, and that's a rather thin and a rather older roof that's doing well. So there are other options. We did a student of mine a few years back did a study of what type of native vegetation might survive here, at least on green roofs. And she found one of the stars in her study anyway was a plant called the Latin name is Allium cerneum, which is an onion. And onions tend to do well because they
The wild onions that we see? Okay.
So they tend to do well because they have the bulb to hold water, and they can also withstand drying. So that's another one that you'll often see on green roofs. And they have these beautiful purple flowers, you know. So that's actually an interesting addition to a lot of roofs.
And they're edible.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you can make your roof pretty colorful if you take this
Absolutely.
Approach. 513-419-7100. Let's talk with Ray in Englewood. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Yeah, I was some of my questions, I guess, were answered, especially the weight of the roof or what the material is that they plant in rather than normal earth. But I guess that vermiculite would be something, that kind of stuff would be good. Also, I wanted to say that I have a Zoysia lawn. That's the beauty lawn, and it's hard for it to dry out. I mean, it really gets through some of the worst weather and stays just lovely. So it's a very tough rooted plant, grass. But it's the weight and then how they handle that on the roof with slats or something, if you've got a pretty good angle on your roof as a private home, or can they do that? They have to rebuild the whole roof, all the wood structure underneath. It would appear they might have to, or at least add strength to it.
Yeah, I know. I know
that's
that.
That's about it.
Mark, thank you, Ray. I know Mark and Ishii are engineers, but you've seen enough examples of green roofs. Are they typically flat roofs that are being used for this?
Well, yeah. Actually, one of my favorite roofs and one of the roofs that we've studied pretty intensively is at the Cincinnati Civic Garden Center that Ishii mentioned. And they actually have a slope roof. It's about 20 degrees sloped. So, I mean, if you ever get the chance to go down there and check it out, it's a really neat roof. It can be done on slope roof. Absolutely. Typically, you're thinking of flat roofs because, you can cover, like you said, a 10 acre roof, with a green roof and that can make a big difference. But absolutely, slope roofs are doable.
And what they do is there is a support. Basically, there are just some spikes that are kind of sticking up that are installed to keep things from sliding down on the roof. I just wanted to address one other thing. You mentioned the zoysia. The one thing that people have to be careful with a little bit, and this is why, you know, there are professionals doing the design and plant choice for green roofs, because some plants that do well in surviving drought do so because they have very, very deep, strong roots. And that's not an option for a very, very shallow green roof. You can't. So you have to be a little bit cautious about plant choice. I mean, that's, you know, or a plant like that just wouldn't survive unless you have a very deep, intensively managed green roof.
Ishii, the research that appears in this new book, what was that about? What were you looking at with that?
Well, the research in the new book, so the book overall is on green roof ecosystems, and it's the first book of its type. We're very excited that it's coming out, or it just came out, I guess. And our chapter in the book is about nutrient cycling. So we were looking at three very important elements for life: nitrogen, phosphorus, and carbon. And basically, just giving a synthesis, so we kind of did an overview of what's known about those three elements in the context of green roofs. And we did a review of the research that's been done so far on those three elements in green roofs. And mainly this ended up being, as the field is fairly new. I mean, this is one of the fascinating things about green roofs is they're what's called a novel ecosystem, because it's not, you know, it's not something that's been around for a long time. It's an engineered ecosystem, and it has somewhat different properties because of that, or they do. That can be surprising, and sometimes they behave a lot like, you know, a natural ecosystem, a prairie wood or something, and other times they might behave very differently. And so this is a very interesting puzzle for scientists to approach and think about, okay, what do we need to know about these systems, and what conceptual models from natural ecosystems can we use versus what do we have to learn anew? But anyway, we're basically summarizing what's been known from most of the research is really recent in the past decade, and also adding a bit from our own research.
Did you, and you're looking at nitrogen, phosphorus, and carbon, are there any concerns as you were doing this research about runoff from this?
Yeah, so, you know, you have plants in the system, they require nutrients, so you have to start the system off with nutrients. So we're talking typically nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and some organic material for carbon. And, yeah, what we found so far, most of the work that's been done has been done on younger green roofs. So there are very few older roofs, as we've mentioned, in the United States to study. So we have our 12-year-old roof. And those younger roofs seem to be leaching out high levels of nitrogen and phosphorus from the system. And, of course, there are issues with that. I mean, I'm sure everyone's familiar by now with the situation in Toledo with the large harmful algal blooms.
Mm-hmm.
That's all due to nutrient runoff. So, if you have a large algal bloom, you can, of course, you have harmful algae that are secreting toxins, and that can be dangerous for your water supply, and also can lead to a situation called eutrophication, where you actually end up with areas of low oxygen. So these are, of course, serious issues, right? And we don't want to contribute more nutrients when we start installing green roofs. So luckily, it's a situation that we can manage. So we can manage it by designing better green roofs.
Did you arrive at any possible solutions to the leaching problem?
We have several ideas, some of which we're pursuing currently in our research. And we're not the only ones. There are other people looking, other researchers at other institutions looking at the same, some of the similar questions. One would be to add something into the soil-like substrate that would bind nutrients better than they're currently designed. And really, the way green roofs have been designed, the focus has been mainly on keeping them green and has been aimed towards keeping the plants happy as best you can in a rather tough environment to grow. And as such, there wasn't a lot of thought, I think, put towards what the possible impact on the runoff water quality might be. Because they're thin systems, they do leach out some of the nutrients that are in there, and that's bad both from the plant perspective and also from the downstream water quality. We have an ongoing experiment funded through the U.S. Geological Survey and the Ohio Water Resources Center to look at biochar, which is essentially like a small kind of powdered activated carbon, sort of like you might find in a Brita filter or something like that. Just envision that. But you can make it very fairly cheaply, actually, from by basically making charcoal out of plant material. And there's a lot of groups or a lot of small industry doing this locally. Mixing that in with the substrate has the effect of binding some of the nutrients more strongly, as well as water, actually, and keeping them in the system, in the ecosystem, so that they don't leach out as readily. So that's one of the things that we're pursuing.
Do green roofs get better as they age? Do they become more stable and hold these nutrients better? Do we have enough research to know if that's the case?
That's one of our ongoing research pursuits right now. So one of the issues is, like I mentioned, that we don't have older roofs to study, certainly not in the U.S.
What did you say the oldest was?
I think 15 years old or so. Okay. You're looking at the Chicago
City Hall
building. I'm going in about a month to Sweden, where they have around 100 green roofs in this one small city. And they're on recycling centers. And the beautiful thing about this is that the green roofs were all installed by the same people, so that they have the same initial conditions, right? Same soil, same plant community, same everything, but they were installed at different time periods. So we can really isolate the change in these green roofs over time. So I'm really excited about this research. Of course, right now we have more questions than answers, but.
But you think there's a future for green roofs in the U.S.?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What we've seen with the roofs that we do have experience with is the older the roof, the less leaching out of nutrients it has. And typically there's an initial pool in the fertilizer that's installed with the roof that over time is going to go away, essentially. And so it's not as if this is a serious problem that can't be overcome, but it's just an example of when you start to do rigorous, study of a system, you start to really get down into the nitty-gritty details and you find a few things that you didn't expect. That's both interesting from the perspective of someone who likes to know how things work and is curious, and it's also of great practical relevance. Because it can lead us working with engineers or designers of green roofs to try to change, perhaps somewhat tweak a little bit the way things are built. For instance, building roofs with lower organic matter content and particularly less phosphorus would actually go a long way. That was one of the other things I wanted to say. Just building them, we found that the phosphorus is typically there in great excess relative to the nitrogen that the plants need. So there's way more of one element than the plants need and potentially not enough over time of another. That's something that can be fixed. And as long as people are paying attention to that when they construct the green roofs, that's a problem that can be solved.
But so far you would say that the benefits of green roof and the research that you've been doing, the benefits of a green roof outweigh the potential problems.
Far and away, I would say, yeah. And so we're just focusing on this because it's sort of one of the few remaining issues, partly, and also partly because, that's my field of research is studying nutrient biogeochemistry in streams and lakes, and I'm interested in that end of things. And so I want to know exactly what impact any system is having on that.
Yeah, another important point I want to make is that this runoff from green roofs has nutrients in it. That's juicy stuff. It's actually a resource, not a waste. So if we can keep that on site, either cycle it back through the green roof or use it in our gardens, it's a potential resource rather than a disservice.
Ishi and Mark, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Dr. Ishi Buffum, Assistant Professor of Biological Sciences at the University of Cincinnati, and UC doctoral student Mark Mitchell. Coming up, a look at coaching and mentoring program that prepares local high school kids for the future. You can join us in the conversation, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.